Well, hello, Purpose Church. It is so good to be together, and it has been a crazy week in the history of our nation. And many of you saw images and videos of what happened in our nation's capital on Wednesday. And those images were so disturbing and painful to watch. And if you didn't get a chance to see Pastor Glenn's email video this week where he talks about it and responds to it, make sure you check your email. You can also go to our Facebook page. You can go to YouTube. You can go to our webpage and watch Pastor Glenn address that. He's actually going to be talking a little bit more about that and what it looks like to have unity in turbulent times next Sunday in his sermon. And so we'll be addressing that more. But Pastor Glenn and I felt like it was important for us to continue in our Ask series, especially with the question that we will be addressing today. And the question that we're going to be talking about today is, how should I deal with anxiety and depression when it feels like God is not hearing me or healing me? Maybe because of what's happened this past week or this last year or maybe beyond, you have had this thought or this feeling. And maybe there have been some people in your life who have told you to just get over it, that just you need to move on, cheer up, that things will get better, stop worrying so much. And as a pastor, I want you to hear me say this first. I'm sorry. I want to validate your anxiety and your depression. I want you to know that we believe that mental illness is real and that there are many triggers and causes that result in someone experiencing mental illness and specifically anxiety and depression. And for many of us, those can be absolutely debilitating. Friends, if you're watching and you're experiencing a mental illness challenge or you have anxiety and depression, I want you to hear me say this. You are seen, you are loved, and you are cared for. That you are a part of our church family and we want to come alongside you. And I also want you to hear this. You are not alone. Maybe one of the reasons that question resonates deep with you is because you've felt alone. And so I want to just draw our attention initially to a passage where David, King David, who was chosen by God to be the king of Israel, the man who it is described that he was a man after God's own heart. Listen to how he describes a moment in time, a season of his relationship with God. Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. You see, David was honest with God about his struggles and his challenges. David asked God to give his light eyes to allow him to see. Maybe some of you have just felt like there's a cloud over you and you can't even see what's in front of you emotionally, spiritually, physically. David says, God, give my eyes light. And then he ends by proclaiming and holding on to the only thing that he can, which is the character of God, the goodness of God, the trustworthiness of God. It reminds me of that story in 2 Kings chapter 6, where King Aram sends a dispatch of troops to surround Elisha. And they actually surround the city that Elisha is in. Well, one of Elisha's servants wakes up and he sees this giant army around the city. And the text says that he felt anxious, that he felt worried. And Elisha responds to him. He says, do not be worried, for there are far more on our side than on theirs. And then Elisha prays. He says, God, would you give my servant the ability to see? And all of a sudden, the eyes are opened of this servant. And what was a suffocating, what was a painful, what was an anxious feeling and thought, all of a sudden is turned because he can see again. And what he sees is that heaven's army was surrounding Elisha. That though there were troops from Aram surrounding the city, God's presence was surrounding Elisha. And what happened for this servant is his vision was recalibrated. Friends, it is no accident that you are tuning in right now. The tunnel or the pit of despair that you might find yourself in, God sees you there and he loves you and he wants you to know that this is not the end of your story, that he has hope and encouragement for you, and that through God's presence, through mental health resources, through medicine and therapy, through your life group and community, through the church, through your family, God wants you to know that there are far more on your side than are against you. Depression and anxiety, they're real. I've seen it with my own eyes. I have someone in my life who I'm really close with, whom I deeply love. And I watched him have a panic attack in front of me. I watched him begin to shake. I watched his wife grab his face to calm him and to stabilize him. And I watched her so powerfully look into his eyes and remind him of the truth that God loves him and that he is not alone and that we are here for him. And it was an incredibly powerful reminder of what I see in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. It says, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. And my only desire today is that this message, that our time together would be a kind word. It would be an encouragement to you. I recognize that even as we're talking about these things, some of you may be triggered, and I want to encourage you to watch this as a family or with friends. Some of the concepts we're going to be talking about in a few minutes may be difficult for little kids to watch, and so use discretion, but this is so important that the church talks about these things because it is more prevalent now than ever before. In fact, I want to draw your attention to some data that has come out recently, and I want to walk through these with you. I'm using resources like the National Institute of Mental Health and the National Alliance of Mental Illness and a recent survey that came out from the CDC. They found that in 2019, 20% of Americans experienced mental illness. And that number, according to a recent CDC survey, which, let me be clear, this came out at the end of June after studying people for only 5 months of the pandemic. This is just a survey. It's not national data yet. That will take months and probably years to fully put together. But what current studies, what current surveys are telling us is that now in the year 2020, 40% of people experienced anxiety or depression or some kind of mental illness. This one absolutely broke my heart and shocked me. Young people experiencing depression and or anxiety in 2019, 30% of young people reported having experienced depression and anxiety. That number jumped in the year 2020, according to the CDC survey, up to 75%. That should send chills down your spine. That should terrify you. That means a whole generation of young people, a huge percentage of them, are experiencing anxiety and depression. 70 million Americans experienced depression and or anxiety in 2019. From 2019 to 2020, anxiety symptoms increased 3 times and depressive symptoms increased 4 times. And then this is the one that I had to pause when I read this. Suicide is the second leading cause of death amongst 10 to 34-year-olds in America. The second leading cause of death. And lastly, 20% of high school students will have serious thoughts of suicide. I felt it was only responsible at this point to put up the national hotline in case you find yourself questioning whether your life is worth living or you know somebody and you need to have this number readily available. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 8255. Log that away. in case you ever need it. Our big idea for today that we're going to be unpacking together is that following Jesus will not shield you from experiencing mental illnesses. I don't want to overpromise. I don't want to pretend that Christians don't experience this because many do. So following Jesus will not shield you from experiencing mental illnesses, but Jesus will give you the hope and the help you need to make it through and inspire others. What I wanted to do with some of our time is to hear from one of my friends, a therapist, a practitioner who has experience with working with people who experience anxiety and depression. And so I want to invite up my friend, Tanel Jones. She is an associate marriage and family therapist with over 15 years of mental health service experience with an emphasis in national and international trauma treatment. She works as a therapist with Building Bridges Christian Counseling, and you are the volunteer ministry lead for the anti-human trafficking ministry, Operation Transformation at CityLink. Tanel has a passion to see men and women understand the purpose of living whole, healed, and restored lives. Tanel, thank you so much for being here to answer a few questions for us.
Thank you so much, Eric. I'm excited to be here.
Well, the first question I want to ask you, and again, we could go all day and we only have a few minutes together, but the first question I want to ask you is this. What are the differences between sadness and depression and nervousness and anxiety, and what are some of those symptoms?
So when you look at sadness, you look at sadness as a feeling, you look at it as a symptom of depression. Mm. But because you're feeling sad, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're depressed. Mm. And so oftentimes we can relate sadness to an actual experience that we've experienced for a short time. Okay. When you look at depression, you're looking at a mood disorder that's characterized by persistent negative thoughts and or feelings. Mm. And so it becomes more concerning because it's for a longer period of time as well. Mm. And so symptoms may include isolation, hypersomnia, which is sleeping excessively, eating habits changing, not wanting to be around anyone, feelings of hopelessness, thoughts of hurting self, others, and maybe even suicide.
Wow.
For depression. As for nervousness and anxiety, nervousness exactly actually a feeling that you feel as well when dealing with anxiety. Mm. But I think nervousness can be one of those things that kind of can propel you to do something.
Right.
That one thing that wakes you up, I don't want to be late, so you jump up early, you know.
Right.
Anxiety becomes debilitating, as with any diagnosis. They do not allow you to function and participate in your day-to-day activities.
Wow.
Hygiene, eating, communicating with others, work, school.
Wow.
It makes it very difficult to do those things. So,
Wow, that was really, really a helpful setup. Now, I think, you know, maybe some of us were optimistic in our minds that, man, once we could just get to 2021, we could leave 2020 in our past. Turns out that's not how life works. And there's a lot that we experienced in 2020 that continues to carry over. And I wanted to ask you, from a mental health perspective, how has the year 2020 impacted our culture?
Wow, 2020 has had a major impact on our culture. And I do want to start off with saying that it has impacted us, but sometimes we want to slow down and say, God, what are you trying to show us?
Yeah.
Because slowing down, sometimes he wants us to be still long enough so that he can feed us what we need to receive. Mm. But with that said, I believe that there has been a cultural shift as a result of 2020, not just the pandemic, but we've dealt with several things in 2020. Yeah. And so I was looking at a culture shock and adaptation article with Michael Winkelsman. Mm. And in that article, they gave a definition of culture shock. And one of the things that, if I can summarize it, kind of highlighted, a new culture produces anxiety, for lack of a better term, and then loss of your culture can provoke feelings of loss.
Wow.
And so when I look at new and loss, I think about anxiety and depression. Newness gives you this anxious feeling, this excitement, whether it be a new job or, you know, a new setting.
Yeah.
It still gives you this feeling of anxiousness and anxiety. And then you have this loss, I think, of grief. And then I think of depression. And I do have to highlight that grief doesn't necessarily mean you've lost a loved one.
Mm.
Grief is losing loss over and over, be it culture, be it family, be it a job, be it a home.
A way of life.
A way of life. And that is so important.
I mean, that kind of almost summarizes 2020, right? It's culture shock and grief. And so could you walk us through culture shock and grief and how we've experienced those?
Yeah. So again, this article was so good because it highlighted these phases or these stages of culture shock. Mm. And as therapists, we look at stages of grief. Mm. And so when you look at the stages of culture shock, you have the honeymoon phase, the excitement. And we all remember when they said, okay, you're in quarantine.
Yeah.
We're like, yes, I don't have to go through traffic. We could stay at home. There was this excitement about the newness.
Totally. That lasted about 3 days, but it was awesome. I mean, we were trying to make sense of things, right?
Exactly. Literally 3 days. You're so right. Yeah. And then after a while, it became this crisis and or culture shock where this is my new norm. Then we start feeling like we're losing our identity and who we are and what we stand. I don't like this.
Wow.
I think about our kids, our 9-year-olds who've been in school for 6 years of their life, at least more than half of their life, where they've been around other kids, more than 30 kids in any given moment for 6 years. And now all that has been taken away.
Wow.
So when we look at the shift and the reality, they were excited too. They didn't have to go to school, but then it's like, I can't see my friends.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like COVID, a lot of them bring COVID because I can't see my friends.
Yeah.
And so that's the second phase, which is the crisis and the shock. The third phase is the adjustment.
Mm.
You get to a phase where you're trying to adjust to what is.
Wow.
And then the last phase is adaptation.
Wow.
You it's more of accepting and you adapt to what is. You don't deny who you or what you're doing, but you're adapting to the new norm. We're wearing our mask. Everyone has like 5 masks in their car,
right?
And 20 bottles of hand sanitizer everywhere they go. So that's the phases for culture shock.
Mm.
But when you look at the phases for grief, you have denial.
Mm.
So you go through this phase of denying what is.
Mm.
And we all kind of even did that. Like, this can't be. That means I can't do this. I can't go to the beach. I can't do this or that. And then you have anger. There's this feeling of anger. This can't be, you know, and you're mad and don't know who to be mad at. It's just upset, irritability. Then the third phase for grief is bargaining. You start trying to figure out if I could just.
Wow.
And then the fourth phase is depression. So there is a symptom of loss in the stages of grief. You start feeling a little depressed and hopeless.
Wow.
And then the final phase is, again, acceptance. You accept the reality that this is now gone and I'm walking into a new.
And then you almost re-go through those as things happen in culture, as things happen out there, as new information is brought out, things in society. We're like, as a nation, re-going through those things like frequently.
Yes, I think you're going to always go through them. I think if we look at some phases for 2020 for all of us that we can probably relate to, we would probably look at the denial and the shock, the anger and the bargaining. We all went through that phase of anger and bargaining, trying to figure out if I just move to a different state, I get away from this, or move to a different city, change church, or get a new job.
Wow.
These are processes.
You're reading our mail right now. You're reading our mail. This is good. Keep it going.
But I think we go through that thinking, you know, we're not ready for that shift, that adjustment. And so we try and bargain our way out of it.
Wow.
But COVID is global.
Wow.
Just to say that. But you know what? 2020 effect is global. I mean, I think everyone is dealing with something within this time period. And then the third phase of that for us dealing with 2020, I would say is, so winter bargaining, I would say depression and or anxiety.
Mm.
It's not uncommon for us to experience depression and or anxiety during this time.
Wow.
And I say that because I want to normalize those who are struggling with depression and anxiety, especially this year. I've never felt this before. This is so new.
Mm.
I don't know what to, how do I get out of this? First, let's accept it and acknowledge that it's normal.
Wow.
And then that part of acceptance, okay, this is my new normal way of life. And yes, you can repeat it over and over again. But once you are aware and you know what to look for, it makes the process a lot easier.
That's so interesting to know because it really feels like every sector of society, every profession has been impacted. And so kind of the data I shared in the beginning, you're sort of giving language to, we've all been experiencing loss. We've all been experiencing grief. We've all been experiencing culture shock and we're responding, whether it's bargaining, trying to get out, trying to, you know, control or whatever it may be. We're doing those things as a way of trying to make sense of what's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I did want to reiterate the grief. That is something we experience and I think we socialize with loss of a person, but many of us have been experiencing grief and didn't realize it.
Wow.
And so when we got that depression, or we were, how did this happen?
Right.
But if you look back, you may have had to switch schools too quick, and it was just very uncomfortable, or switch jobs. So I just want to...
Well, that's interesting, because the question that we're addressing today of how should I deal with anxiety and depression when it feels like God is not hearing me or healing me? We had so many people submit a very similar question to that. So it shows me that people are curious about that. The last question I want to ask you is, how can we help ourselves or someone we love who is experiencing depression and or anxiety?
I love that question, because it's how can we help ourselves? Mm. And I always think about, as believers, we're taught to have compassion for others, but we don't take the time to have compassion for ourselves.
Yeah. Yep.
And so taking care of yourself is critical.
Yeah.
It's important. Awareness is key. What you're doing today, what Purpose Church is doing, is so important. And it's going to reach thousands of people, bringing awareness to what's real. And you know what? It's not taboo in the church. We've accepted and we know it, and it's not taboo, and it's okay, and the church is here to help.
Amen.
And so I just want to dispel and rebuke that ideology that we don't accept and the church don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
No, yes, we do want to deal with it.
Amen.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
And so I think awareness is important. Once you're aware and informed, you can do better.
Mm.
And I think that I like the flight attendant analogy, you know, secure your mask first so that you then can help someone else.
Wow.
So I think that's important. And then for loved ones, it's important to help them identify symptoms. Mm. Sometimes we're so lucid in talking about diagnosis. I have anxiety, I have depression, I have this, but we don't know what we're feeling. We can't identify those symptoms.
Wow.
Help your loved ones identify the symptoms, because they may not see what they're displaying.
That's
and I think that's very helpful for treatment. If you see these symptoms for longer than a week, I would encourage you to encourage them to get help or get help for them.
Yeah.
If they're displaying symptoms of self-harm to self or others, or even talking about it, get help immediately and be okay with doing that. Yeah.
Really,
I want to jump down to, I'm processing Moses in Exodus 4, I believe 4:10. And then this particular passage, seemed like he's having a conversation with God, like, he didn't want to have to do the speaking. And when I think about that, I think of stage fright, anxiety, not wanting to talk. And God was like, wait a minute, didn't I give you that? I'm the one that gave you the mouth to, you know, to speak.
Huh.
But the part that was so important that stood out to me on how we can help was God told him, I will be with you. But he also said, I'm going to send your brother Aaron with you too.
Oh, that's good.
Now, God could have easily said, I'm going to give Aaron the words to say, and Aaron's going to do it. But God wanted to use Moses, but I also think he wanted us to see that you can have support, and our job is not always to be the voice, but sometimes help support the person who has the voice.
Wow, that's good.
So
that's a good challenge.
How do we help? We support that person. Moses did another thing in there when he was when they were fighting the Amalekites, when he had to raise his hand.
Yeah.
And Aaron and her came to him, his support, because his arms were getting heavy and tired.
Yes.
And sometimes when we're dealing with depression and anxiety, we're getting tired of dealing with it, which is when you sometimes see depression and anxiety combo.
Wow.
When they get tired of dealing with it, you'll see the combo in it. But if I can get back on track here, sorry. But in holding his hands up, I thought it was so powerful, because they held his hands up till the sun came down.
Mm.
Moses was too tired. But when you think about raising your hands, you think about worship, a sacrifice unto the Lord.
Mm.
And even in worship, we need someone else, because they held his hands up in the symbol of worship. And I thought that was so powerful. So what can we do? Stand behind those who are in need, those who need the support. Let's normalize it. Let's let them know that this is where they need to come for support.
Wow. Tanel, I just want to thank you for being a friend of Purpose Church, for being one of my friends, for helping so many people, especially young families in our church. We're just so, so grateful for you. So thank you so much for being here, Tanel.
Thank you, Eric. I'm really excited to be a part of this. And I just pray that this will reach many people who are in need.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Tanel.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sure you would all agree that that was incredibly helpful, and I would encourage you to continue to explore these things and explore the ways that anxiety and depression have impacted you or your families. I wanted to continue in the vein of what Tanel was encouraging us to do, to normalize this conversation. I want to look for just a few minutes at some real people in the Bible with real mental health challenges. And so again, we can't go back in time and diagnose these people. I'm not sure if they had depression, anxiety, but as you're hearing some of their words, maybe you'll find a sense of relatability with them. And it's so important that for you, as you're tuning in, that you recognize that the Word of God is full of people who had challenges and struggles and were honest about those. So let's just look at a few together. The first one I want to look at with you is David. David in Psalm chapter 10, verse 1. Psalm chapter 10, verse 1 says this: "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" If you're experiencing anxiety and depression, and you're asking the question, why is God not hearing me? Why is God not healing me? Here's another moment in David's life where he was asking that question. And yet David continued talking with God even when he wasn't sure that he was there. That's a powerful principle right there, that David chose to continue talking with God even when he was uncertain, even when he was wondering, God, are you even here? Or look at Elijah. Elijah actually experiences suicidal thoughts, and it's recorded in the scriptures in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. "While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.'" But this isn't the only person in scripture who experienced suicide ideation and suicidal thoughts. It's recorded in Jonah chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 9. "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Verse 9. "But God said to Jonah, 'Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?' 'It is,' he said, 'and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead.'" Here is Jonah, similar to David, coming before the Lord, similar to Elijah, coming before God. He's angry, he's frustrated, and he's not sure that his life is worth living anymore. And then hear this, please hear this. God chooses to still engage with him. You see, God brought each of these people into the world, and God brought you into the world. God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and these people are literally questioning God. They're saying, "Is there even any purpose for me?" And yet God does not turn his back on them. God communicates with them. God meets them where they're at. In other words, their words of doubt and pain and sorrow and questions are met by God's presence. He loves you and he cares about you. Or look at Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 18. "Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" Or look at Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are anxious,'" or "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha experienced anxiety serving Jesus. Martha experienced anxiety trying to do the right thing. And maybe some of you, you're in ministry, you're serving, you're trying to follow God, and you're experiencing anxiety. And it feels like, man, maybe God is not real. Maybe he doesn't love me. Well, Martha knows what that's like. And Jesus was so gentle with her in the way that he loved her and directed her. Well, see, not only are there real people in the Bible who experience mental health challenges, but God's word is full of encouragements and promises for you and I. And so I want to look at promises from God for those experiencing mental health challenges. So I want you to hold on to these promises. Promise number one is this. God cares about your anxieties. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all, that's an important word, cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. God didn't say, just cast your anxieties Monday to Friday on me. He didn't just say, cast your anxieties during my office hours or when I'm available or when I'm not too busy helping somebody else. Jesus says, cast all of your anxieties on me. This means for every time that you cast one of your anxieties on a friend, on a family member, on a therapist, God desires that you would cast all of it on him. He is not going to grow tired of you. Some of you need this right now. You need to know God is not growing tired of you. He can handle all of it. Every anxiety, every depressive thought, every struggle, every pain, God loves you that much. That in his word, he says, give me all of it. The second promise from God's word is that God will scale this wall with you. In Psalm chapter 18, it says, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Notice that it says, with God, we can scale a wall. Your depression, your anxiety, your mental illness, I imagine it feels like a wall. And I want to validate, it is probably a giant wall in your life. But God says you don't have to scale that wall alone. But that he wants to scale it with you. And as you talk with people who follow God, you will hear story after story after story, like David, who experienced God coming alongside them to scale the wall, to scale their struggle, their challenge, their pain. Number three, the third promise, God will lift you up. God will lift you up. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Number four, the fourth promise I want you to hold on to. The Holy Spirit advocates for you. Look at what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Now, I want to pause here for a second, because maybe for some of you, as you see that word weakness, you're saying, are you saying that God thinks we're less than if we have a mental health struggle, if we have a mental illness like depression and anxiety? Are we less than? No. Every single person is made in the image of God, fully loved by God, can be fully used by him. And in fact, this word weakness here in the original Greek language that it was written in is asthenia. That's the Greek word for it. And it actually has three different definitions. It could mean having limitations. It could mean having a lack of confidence. Or it could mean having a debilitating illness, sickness, or disease. See, this word is evidence that God knows about the pain that we are going through, and he chooses to respond to it. When we can't even say the right words, when we don't even know what to pray, when we can't even get out of bed, when the idea of functioning seems absolutely impossible to us, God promises that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, advocates for us, comes alongside us because God loves us. And the last promise I want to talk about, number five, is you are God's masterpiece. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." If your experience is that God is not hearing you, that God is not healing you, number one, you need to know that he has prepared in advance good things for you to do, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and it's because in Christ he has made you his masterpiece. It's one of the reasons that when I tuck my kids into bed every single night, I have them repeat this to me. I am God's masterpiece, even when I don't feel like a masterpiece. Because the truth is, if you're human, whether you have a mental illness or not, there are going to be times in your life where you do not feel like a masterpiece. And as the people of God, if you are in a relationship with Jesus, you can claim this truth that you are his masterpiece, that he loves you. And if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, that's as simple as you saying, "God, please forgive me. I want to follow you. I receive what you did on the cross on my behalf. I know that you rose from the dead, and I want to live my life for you." And when we do that, we become God's masterpiece. And so I want to do something right now. As you're tuning in from wherever you're, if you're watching from home, from your bedroom, on the drive right now, maybe you're driving in the car, you're on a workout, you're watching, wherever you're from, I actually want you to repeat this after me from wherever you're tuning in from right now. I'm gonna say it, and then I want you to repeat it after me. I am God's masterpiece, even when I don't feel like a masterpiece. That is a promise from God. Friends, if you are feeling depressed or anxious, I want to encourage you to journal and to talk with Jesus about what you're feeling. I want to encourage you to tell a trusted person in your life, maybe someone in your life group, maybe a family member or a friend, just like Tanel was encouraging us. God gave you that mouth. Share what you're feeling with a trusted person. Number three, consider joining our Celebrate Recovery Stress, Anxiety, and Depression support group and share what you're feeling. Every single Tuesday night here at Purpose Church at 6:30 p.m., we have a small group just for people experiencing depression and anxiety and stress. Maybe you need to join that group. Number four, reach out to a counselor about what you're feeling. You can email us here at Purpose Church and we can connect you with lots of trusted therapists in our church and outside of our church. We'd love to help you and provide that resource for you. And maybe visit purposechurch.com/recovery to learn more about all the resources that we have. I'll never forget the phone call that I had about maybe two or three years ago. I was talking with a young woman in our church, and I just noticed there was something off about this phone call. She was really short in her responses, and I just felt like something was off. And so I asked her a question that I oftentimes ask people when I have this feeling, and it's a question I would encourage you to ask if you're in a conversation with somebody and it just seems like something is off. And the question I asked her was this. I said, "Are you safe with yourself?" I know that could be a really scary question to ask. You feel like you're opening up a Pandora's box, but it ended up being the most important question, because when I asked her, "Are you safe with yourself?" she said, "No." Well, me and another pastor drove to her house and picked her up, and we took her to the hospital. And she began to share with us that she had plans of taking her own life, and she was beginning to get things in order to do that. Well, she was in the hospital for a few days, and they ended up transferring her to a mental health hospital where, under some incredible guidance from therapists and medicine and a lot of prayer, she began to experience God. In fact, while she was in the hospital, she would tell me about how she would read God's word, and she found so much hope and encouragement, and she had other books, other Christian books that she was reading, and they were reminding her of God's truth. And then she would have these moments where she would think to herself, I don't know. Is this real? Does God actually love me? Should I really be here? And then all of a sudden, she would hear her name called from the supervisor at the end of the hall. They would call her name and they would say, there's a phone call for you. There's a phone call for you. She'd go running down and pick up the phone, and it was one of her life group members. It was one of the people she was serving with. And they would just say, I want to encourage you. I want to let you know I'm praying for you. I want to check in on you. And it would be this boost of confidence and this reminder that God was hearing her and that God was healing her. She'd go back to her room and read the Bible, and God would be speaking to her, and she would be praying and feeling and sensing his presence. And then all of a sudden she would question again and she would doubt. And then she would hear her name called. You have a phone call. You have a phone call. She'd go running down the hall, and this happened over and over and over again for her. And essentially what God was reminding her is there is far more on your side than against you. There's a recent graduate of our high school ministry. Her name is Christina Dway, and she's one of our life group leaders in our high school ministry. And Christina, throughout her high school years, she experienced anxiety and depression. She had an amazing life group leader named Courtney Romero, who I have the blessing and the privilege of working alongside in our high school ministry. And Courtney worked with Christina and loved on Christina and was there for her. And Christina experienced therapy and help and support. And during this entire 4 years of wrestling with her mental illness and mental health challenges, she was continuing to go to God, believing that he was working in her life. Well, during her senior year, she was a part of our student leadership team. And in order to be on our student leadership team, you have to have some kind of vision or dream for the ministry. You have to have something that you want to do. And she said, I want to put on an event for people in our ministry who are experiencing depression and anxiety. And then she took it to the next level. And she created, her and her friends, with the help of some therapists and pastors and leaders, they created a 21-day devotional. A 21-day devotional specifically for people experiencing depression and anxiety. And through all of their hard work, we are happy to offer it to you for free. You can go to purposechurch.com/devotional and you can download it there for free. And maybe this might be a helpful resource for you and your family in these days. So friends, if you are experiencing anxiety and depression, you're wondering if God is hearing you or if he's healing you, the answer is yes. It's a process, but hold on, because there are far more on your side than are against you.